What should America's energy future be, and how do we hammer out an environmentally conscious national energy security plan for the future? That is the preoccupation of current state's next guest. John Hoffmeister is a former president of Shell Oil Company. Today, Mr. Hoffmeister heads the nonprofit group Citizens for Affordable Energy. He, T. Boone Pickens, and a few others belong to an interesting group of energy executives, or ex-executives, who are advocating for alternative energy sources. Mr. Hoffmeister speaks at noon today in Livonia at the Detroit Area Forum. John Hoffmeister, welcome to Current State.
Thank you for having me.
On your organization's website, under Purpose, it states, quote, "We deserve more affordable, cleaner energy," unquote. As you see it, what are the biggest obstacles standing in the way of more affordable and cleaner energy?
One obstacle is the near monopoly of oil in the engines that we use today, when we could be using multiple types of alternative fuels, even in the engines we use today, provided they are flex fuel engines. So we could shift from oil to natural gas in multiple different ways of managing natural gas as a transportation fuel in the cars of today as well as tomorrow. That's number one. Number two, we seriously lack in the government policies at local, state, and federal levels that truly enable this country to build out a new 21st century energy system, which makes us rely upon an elderly, decrepit 20th century energy system, which is just barely keeping up with today's demands and simply cannot continue much longer in the ways in which we have been accustomed. Those two areas could deliver cleaner, more affordable fuel that is going to serve us through the 21st century.
Some percentage of the time, more affordable and cleaner just don't go together. First and foremost, I'm thinking of coal here. How do you try to balance those priorities?
Well, I think coal continues to play a role because it has such a heavy investment from the past, and I have not, for one, given up turning coal into a cleaner fuel. The technologies exist, but we need to manage the public policies in such a way that utility companies would embrace clean coal technology, and that has not yet happened. But with respect to other cleaner, affordable fuels, starting with natural gas, which has half the pollutant capability of coal, we could go a long way towards both eliminating oil imports for this country, which we know cost us, as some station owners say on their stations, an arm and a leg, and move towards natural gas as methanol or as gasoline for personal cars, as compressed natural gas, as liquefied natural gas, or as gas to liquids, a diesel form, a type of diesel, with just natural gas. And this nation has more natural gas than we actually know we have, because every time the Energy Information Agency at the Department of Energy reports on how much natural gas we have discovered and that we can produce, that number's already out of date. We keep finding more.
I'd like to just briefly tick down a list of the common energy sources and have you briefly summarize your best current thinking on each one, with an emphasis on the environment on one hand and cost on the other. Not too tall of an order, right?
Well, let's go at it.
Do it all the time. Oil. Let's start with oil.
Well, oil has served us well, but it's time to compete other products against oil, because oil has become too expensive and in some cases too risky to produce. And when it costs too much, it doesn't serve the public well.
Natural gas.
Natural gas is prolific. It has many, many uses, not just electricity generation, but also transportation fuel. It's cleaner than oil. It can be used in today's engines as long as they're flex fuel and the computer software in the engine is converted, adjusted, I should say, to take advantage. It would clean the air tremendously to be using natural gas compared to oil.
I have to ask a follow-up question on that. What is the big stumbling block in creating more cars that burn natural gas?
Well, I think we have to get the cooperation of the automotive companies, and we have to build the infrastructure to be able to convert natural gas into transportation fuel, which means building methanol plants or building compressed natural gas plants or liquefied natural gas plants, that's beginning to trickle into the economy. But with the right government signals from Washington or from state capitals, this could happen very quickly. And so this is where government has to play a role by creating the enablers in public policy to signal to the marketplace, yes, it's okay to invest here. We don't need public money. It's important to know that. No public money. Let the private investors pay for it, because they'll get returns many times over once we convert to a different fuel than oil.
Let's continue down our list of energy sources. Coal.
Well, coal needs clean technology to be socially acceptable in the world of the future. And whether that's coal in China or whether that's coal in Australia or coal in the United States, I think we've reached a point of public resistance to the effects of coal. Not that it's a bad fuel, it's a dirty fuel. It works, but let's use technology to clean it up so that it is socially acceptable in the 21st century.
Wind.
Wind is an excellent source of energy when it blows. The problem is we can't tell it when to blow. So it's an intermittent source. But of course, as long as we protect the land in which we're building wind farms, it's really non-polluting, and it can be useful to us. But it's not going to solve all of our problems unless we had a storage system to store wind power when the wind's not blowing.
And finally, solar.
Solar, just like wind, it's an intermittent source of energy. I would argue that the technology to capture energy from the sun is still very immature, very expensive, and therefore not very efficient. But we'll change that with time. I think that innovation, technology, nanotechnology research, a lot of which can happen right here in the state of Michigan, can make a big difference on solar energy in the future.
We are broadcasting here, John Hoffmeister, from a city with a particular interest in the success of General Motors. We make Cadillacs and three crossovers here in Lansing. What's the role of federal CAFE standards here in 2013, and what role should they have in the future?
CAFE standards are designed around an oil-based internal combustion engine to try to get more miles per gallon with cleaner exhaust. And in principle, that is a noble objective, and we've made a lot of progress, and I think we can continue to make more. But let's be clear, we could change the fuels that we use in the engine to cleaner fuels, meaning that we could drop the price of gasoline and people would drive more and would pollute less. So natural gas versus gasoline, ethanol, methanol versus gasoline, and of course the electrification of vehicles. And so it would change the game. Government's a little slow to respond here, and we're not getting the leading signals from government that we could use. So while we're on this journey towards higher CAFE standards, which is predicated on old technology, old thinking about the role of the engine, I think we could convert our thinking to more progressive opportunities to drop the price of gasoline, drive more, and have cleaner air at the same time with competitive fuels.
We've got under a minute, but the explosion in natural gas has created at least one conundrum. It's cleaner than coal. It's not as clean as solar and wind. Is the growth of natural gas a net gain, or does it essentially reduce incentives to pursue even cleaner energy?
Well, we can't drive our cars with wind or solar energy, not yet. We're not electrified as a fleet. So before we can electrify the entire fleet and not worry about internal combustion engines, somewhere in the future, we need a different fuel, because oil is getting too expensive, too hard to get, and we're relying on imported oil far too much. Natural gas, we have plenty of it, to me represents the perfect alternative for the next, let's say, 50, 60 years, while we work on electrifying the fleet.
John Hoffmeister heads the nonprofit group Citizens for Affordable Energy. He speaks today in Livonia at the Detroit Area Forum. John Hoffmeister, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.